WUGA kicks off the 2018 Artist in Residence series on Saturday, February 17th, with local painter, sculptor, and retired art educator Leonard Piha. He earned his MFA in sculpture from the prestigious Cranbrook Academy of Art in Michigan. His creative output is quite remarkable. He's here in the studio with me today to talk about his work and the upcoming event. Leonard, thank you for coming.
Oh, thank you very much.
So let's start out. Can I ask you to just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you found your way into the art world?
I've always made things. All my life, as a child, I was the neighborhood carpenter. I made all the skateboards and the go-karts for everybody in the neighborhood. I made the forts. Mm-hmm. I was the builder of the neighborhood.
Where'd you grow up?
In Seattle.
And how did you find your way to Athens?
I went to graduate school in Michigan and made a dear friend named Alice in Michigan, mm-hmm. and she lived in Georgia and invited me down here after grad school, and mm-hmm. I came down here and I built her a studio and ended up staying.
Yeah. And you're still in touch with Alice now?
Oh, she's our best friend.
Oh, yeah. Terrific.
Yeah.
I mentioned you are a retired art educator. Mm-hmm. Would you like to talk about your years as an art teacher?
Sure.
What was the most rewarding thing about it?
I loved the kids' honesty and their enthusiasm. And I was all hyped up to go to high school, but when I got that elementary job, I took it and mm-hmm. and I never looked back. I honestly loved the elementary kids. They all wanted to participate.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of elementary school in the art room. No, they're not ready to start critiquing, you know, oh, I'm good, I'm not good, you know, so they all are gung-ho. Let's do the assignment. That was the beauty of being an art teacher. And I honestly think they helped me so much. I miss it. I miss teaching.
I can see that.
They helped me free up myself. They made me a little bit looser and mm-hmm. kind of reexamine what's important regarding art.
Did the business of teaching these students inspire your own art?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
In what way?
Well, I could see how easily they would set out to do an assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And that helped me because instead of laboring over something, which so happened to fit my style.
Right.
Instead of laboring over an image I was trying to draw, I could be looser about it because of them, because they were so loose about it that it gave me that freedom, that permission to just kind of stop being so uptight. Just do it.
You mentioned your style. I want to ask you about that in a minute, but are you a painter first or a sculptor
first?
No,
I'm a sculptor. I am truly a sculptor.
So you're a sculptor first. Can you talk about your style and some of the things that mark the uniqueness of your art?
I can. I in order to do that, I have to kind of tell you how I got to the look that is happening. I've always made things and always... not so much drawing, but really it was more making things all throughout elementary, middle, and high school, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I was in high school, I was doing a lot of Jewish imagery, drawing a lot of Jewish imagery, carving a lot of Jewish imagery. And then I went to college. And when I was in college, I took a printmaking class.
Mm-hmm.
In printmaking, I showed my teacher some of the drawings I had done in high school. And he put his arm around me and he said, you know, Leonard, these are great drawings when you're on your own, but right now you're in college mm-hmm. and it's really important that you learn what's happening in the world of art. And I totally accepted that mm-hmm. with pleasure and followed his direction and learned about art. And so I became an artist. Lo and behold, I went to grad school. And my professor there exposed me to folk art. And when he did that, all of a sudden, my whole world just kind of opened up. And all of a sudden, my desires went back to my high school days. And all that Jewishness in me, all that Jewish imagery, mm-hmm. all my feelings about who I am and where I come from became important again. All those things that I suppressed... Because mm-hmm. I was learning about contemporary art.
Right. You just sort of, I guess what you're describing is you really went back to your roots.
I went full circle, and I've been on that path ever since.
Now, this is this professor obviously had a huge influence in your development as an artist. What do you think he would say about your return to your roots now?
You know, when I was in graduate school in my second year, once he exposed us to he was exposing us to his collection.
Mm-hmm.
Once I learned about folk art, and it opened up me, and it gave me this permission to do what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here I'm in grad school and I'm carving little images of rabbis and Jewish stars and menorahs.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't know, and Torahs, they didn't really quite know how to relate to this guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what he would say. I mean, I think, I honestly don't know what he would say. They didn't really even, critiques kind of stopped in my second year of grad school because
mm-hmm.
I was on this Jewish path of finding myself through that imagery that nobody really dealt with me much.
Right. How do you choose your subject matter now? How do you choose your subjects?
Well, now my work has changed so much in the last 30 years. It started out to be blatantly Jewish, and
mm-hmm.
I developed such a vocabulary, a visual vocabulary. Now I'm finding that there's two paths that choose me.
Mm-hmm.
One is they're all personal.
Mm-hmm.
One is either what is particularly happening right now
mm-hmm.
that I'll respond to, or it's a memory.
As in so, current events or things going on just in your life?
It's autobiographical.
Okay.
It's not I'm not going to deal with current events in my artwork or anything. It's really all this personal inquiry to what's happening.
Right. Can you give us some examples? What are you working on now, for instance?
Oh, right now. Well, I did a painting about 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was a family portrait. And it's of my wife and me, and it's a large painting, and I have one boy in one arm, and she has the other boy in her arm, and so we've been dealing a lot for the last couple of years because we're empty nesters, and it's really emotional. It's really a powerful thing when the kids don't live at home anymore. And so now I'm doing a painting, and the boys are huge. They're as big as the canvas. And Cindy and I mm-hmm. are about half their size standing in front of them.
Yeah.
Their arms are around each other, but they're not holding us. They don't need us anymore. And we talk about it all the time. So that's a painting I'm working on right now. I'm also working on another painting that it's kind of a roadmap because
mm-hmm.
it has all these people in there, and the people are actually large metal figures that are going to appear in my yard within the next year. I'm working on one right now. I just mentioned to you.
Yes.
I'm working on the Tinker.
Mm-hmm. What materials are you fond of using the most? What are we going to see in your sculptures?
Well, I think that's why folk art just blew me away, the original motivation, because I have always been a scrounge. Way before I was an artist, I was always finding materials. That's how I built things.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go out and buy things. So when you come to my house, it might look like I collect junk, but I'm very particular. I collect scrap wood. I only use scrap wood in my paintings. And that might sound weird to you, but when I use the word canvas, but I build my canvas with scrap wood.
Okay.
It's a puzzle.
It's not a traditional canvas.
No, it's an undulate. It's a rough surface
mm-hmm.
with all different levels that I paint my images on. That's part of the challenge,
yeah.
and that's the fun. And I love the concept of piecing it together because it suggests a bigger picture.
Yeah. Going back to the question I asked of choosing a subject matter, I have been told that when it comes to choosing subject matter, you've been known to say anything embarrassing.
That's right.
Can you comment about what that means?
Because I noticed that when the exposure to folk art just opened me up and mm-hmm. gave me that permission to follow my own path, mm-hmm. I noticed that anything embarrassing was going to be the way to explore.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a pretty strange feeling to have a master's degree in sculpture and carving little rabbis. That's so embarrassing. It's like something that you do in your own private little home. But, you're, right. you know, I'm a contemporary artist. You don't do little rabbis. You don't do menorahs. You don't do Torahs. Those are personal things that you keep to yourself, basically. So those are the embarrassing things. That's what led me to the imagery that I have today.
What sort of imagery are we going to see, and would we recognize it as something that might be or should be embarrassing?
No, you won't. You won't. It's only personally revealing. Like it's a deep religious feeling that a lot of you don't talk about. Mm-hmm. And so I'm talking about it through my art. I'm giving you a little window about the things that are important. And
those
are the embarrassing things that we don't usually talk about.
I see. So. Yeah. Now, I'm also told that you used to make and sell some very intricate and beautiful lamps, and you at some point decided rather abruptly to stop doing that. Is that correct?
Well, I really have a lot of faith and trust that I just have to be open to whatever happens. And I just came to my end with pounding metal. I did it for so long, and I just didn't find it exciting anymore. And even though the pieces were successful, I think there's something deep down inside me that I resist in being trapped.
Yeah. Do you have any art on public display in town right now?
Well, I have a permanent piece at the Hillel.
Okay.
I made an ark for that they keep their Torah in.
Oh,
the ark.
Wow.
And I have probably about 5 or 6 pieces at the Chabad House on Lumpkin Street.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of use them as a showcase for me.
Mm-hmm.
He loves my work, and so I rotate it there.
And let's move ahead and talk about the event coming up. First of all, let me just say thank you so much for agreeing to be our artist in residence for February. And of course, you're the first of the season. That's very exciting for us as well. Uh-huh. Can you tell us a little bit about what we're going to see when we come visit?
I kind of have two different worlds that I jump between.
Mm-hmm.
I love welding steel. And so over the years, I've collected and I've done quite a few commissions.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of joke about this, but commissions are really a pain to do. So I always tell people that when I do a commission, I really do it just so I can have the scrap. Because the scrap is what's exciting.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. Because the scrap, you see, scrap is totally uninhibiting because you don't buy it. It's extra.
Right.
And so it totally gives you freedom to, if you make a mistake or something, it's no big deal. It's not like you spent $100 and it's like you have to kiss it goodbye. So, you know, it's fun. It opens you up to explore. So I use a lot of scrap metal to construct sculptures.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see quite a few sculptures in my yard. And then I have my whole other world of where I assemble wood and paint on it. And all my paintings have those, I'll use the word embarrassing, but they're not really embarrassing anymore.
Right.
Those images that I have slowly collected over the years, that the important ones I left out. You know, I have this vocabulary that I get to mix up and play with. Yeah.
I hear that you built your home yourself. Is that right?
Well, my wife and I, yeah.
How long did that take?
I think it took us about 2 years to... 2.5 years or so, yeah. It's not really finished.
That's not finished?
Oh, well, it is, but...
Should I bring a hammer?
No.
Community build?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we built our... I mean, I've built everything. I have several buildings.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Enchanted with... Well, I collect materials.
Mm-hmm.
And so every so often I get the bug to do a building.
Mm-hmm.
So I have about 7 buildings on my property.
How about that? All right. Very good. Well, we look forward to seeing it.
Yeah.
I've been speaking with sculptor and painter Leonard Piha, WUGA's featured artist in residence this month. The event celebrating his wildly creative work is from 3 to 5 p.m. at his home and sculpture garden and studio on Saturday, February 17th. For more information or to RSVP, you can contact Kathy Bradbury at 706-542-WUGA. That's 706-542-9842 or wuga@uga.edu. For WUGA, I'm Michael Carton.